call the meeting to order. And the next item we have is an informational item. Number 8, update on Russian River watershed pathogen indicator bacteria, total maximum daily load, and action plan. And we will not be taking adoption. We're mainly taking testimony. This is a study session.
So, thank you, Chairman Corbett and members of the board. My name is Charles Reed. I'm Senior Water Resource Control Engineer here at the board and Project Manager for the Russian River Pathogen TMDL. I have not been sworn in, but I've been sworn at. Actually the public has been very, very respectful, so I was really just a joke.
Hopefully we can rise to that occasion.
This item was originally scheduled as a board hearing to consider adoption of the TMDL, and as you pointed out, this is just an informational hearing. So this is a list of the topics I'll be discussing today. I'd summarize it as what we've done, where we are, what the heck happened, and what's next. So for a little background here, the Russian River was listed as impaired for pathogens in 2002. Six specific reaches of the Russian River were listed. In response to this listing, we did some extensive water quality monitoring to identify the extent of the impairment and to identify the possible sources of bacteria that were contributing to the impairment. As a result of the monitoring, we confirmed the impairment. We determined that the impairment was watershed-wide, and there was evidence of human and domestic animal waste throughout the watershed. What this indicated to staff was that we needed to do more work. Our existing regulatory programs weren't adequate to have the water body be in compliance with the water quality objectives for bacteria. So that led to the development of the TMDL, which is the process we're in right now. And the ultimate goal of that is to bring the watershed back into attainment with water quality objectives. So the end result of this TMDL process is going to be a basin plan amendment and a TMDL action plan to address the sources of bacteria. So the work since 2007, roughly, has led to the creation of the draft TMDL staff report. As required by state law, we submitted this draft staff report for scientific peer review to ensure that the TMDL was based on sound scientific principles. The peer reviewers generally supported our approach and confirmed that it was based on sound science. Revisions to the draft staff report will be made in response, revisions to the draft staff report were made in response to the peer reviewers. Comments. And once that draft was completed, we put that draft out for public review for 45 days. That occurred from August 21st through October 8th. We also had some public meetings during this time. In January, we had a CEQA scoping meeting to solicit public input on how we can improve our CEQA review. In September of this year, during the public release of the draft TMDL, we had 3 public workshops, one in Monterio, one in Ukiah, and one here in Santa Rosa, to also again solicit public input on the draft documents that were out for public comment. The public hearing was scheduled for today, November 19th. It was postponed based on the comments we received both during the comment period and during the workshops. So this is a list of the public and private parties that submitted comments during the comment period. All told, there were 73 comment letters and over 400 separate issues that we're going to be responding to in writing. So in order to address all these comments in writing, we've divided them up into nine categories. General comments on this TMDL were based generally on adequacy of noticing, and there were a lot of comments requesting this hearing be postponed. There were a number of questions also on our data and technical analysis, and the technical analysis is the water quality objectives, the source of impairment, source analysis, and our TMDL calculation and load allocation calculations. The lion's share of the comments were related to implementation measure, and I'll talk about those a little bit later. Costs and funding opportunities were another source of comments. Both private and public entities reinforced the idea that a collaboration between state and local agencies was necessary for this TMDL to be effective, and we agree with that. A number of comments also suggested developing local management agencies to oversee on-site septic systems in the Lower Russian River. A lot of people thought that was a good idea, but there was some questions about how that process of establishing these local entities would go about, and the timing related to the adoption by this board of a local agency management plan by the Sonoma County PRMD and the Mendocino County Department of Environmental Health. There were a number of comments related to homeless encampments, vacation rentals, and recreational uses as contributors to bacteria in the Russian River. A lot of the commenters thought we underestimated in this TMDL the contribution of these sources, and that we should modify the TMDL in response. Of course, there were a lot of comments related to our CEQA analysis, and we'll be dealing with those in our response to comments. Comments that didn't fall into these categories neatly, we are just labeling as other comments, and we'll be addressing these as they come up. And I'd also point out that if I haven't mentioned anybody's specific comments that are in the audience, I would have you rest assured that we'll be answering your comments in our official response to comments document. So as a preliminary response, I would say we received a lot of good comments. And we will be preparing, as I said, a detailed response to these comments. We also anticipate making some changes to the staff report and the basin plan amendment in response to these comments. Many of the comments were related to the TMDL technical analysis. However, we're confident that our analysis is sound, and we're not planning any significant changes to the technical analysis. However, we do think there are some revisions that are needed. Specifically, we'll be making some changes to the action plan for homeless encampments and recreational users. We'll be beefing up our CEQA analysis, taking some of the advice of some of the comments we were given. And there may be some other changes that arise as we work our way through the comment letters. And we're not quite through yet. There were quite a number. And we anticipate significant changes to the implementation plan for on-site systems. And I'll go over those in the next couple of slides. So although on-site systems is one of the 14 source categories that we identified in this TMDL as needing some sort of implementation action, the lion's share of the comments were related to on-site systems. I would say probably 70 or 75% of the comments were related to on-site systems. The comments were almost universally critical. The chief comments were adequacy of public noticing. Many people thought that given the impact to individuals out in the Lower Russian River, we should have taken more of an effort to provide notice to individuals out there. Another group of comments, a significant group of comments, related to what is perceived as fairness issue regarding on-site systems out there. people who own on-site systems felt that they were being picked on. They had more requirements than the other sources. There was also the perception that we were considering all existing systems in the lower Russian River as failing, and therefore they all needed to upgrade. A number of questions were related to the options that we provided for owners of on-site systems in the lower Russian River. If you recall, we offered three options. The first was to upgrade their existing systems to a higher level of treatment and meet a prescriptive performance standard. A second option was to connect to an existing sanitary sewer system. The third option was to allow themselves to be regulated under a county program. Another feature of the TM of the action plan for on-site systems that was identified as lacking was the lack of identification of the specific identification of the priority areas. People didn't know whether they're in a priority area or out of the priority. We hadn't done enough work to identify parcel by parcel who was in. Also, a consistent comment was the potential cost to comply with the TMDL and the financial burden that it would give to all owners out there, and particularly those in the lower income brackets. Public funding was also another issue. We took efforts to explain that there's public funding available, but it was a little intangible for the owners of septic systems, and they were not sure how that public funding could be applied to private needs. So, in response, I think it was clear that our approach in the draft TMDL was not going to work. So we've talked to the county, and we've come up with a different approach for this. We've talked to them, and we think this approach is going to be directly responsive to the public concerns regarding fairness, feasibility, and funding. And as I've said, we've run this by the Sonoma County PRMD. They've been receptive to it. They've indicated we're on the right track. So I'll take a little bit of time to go over the three-phase approach that we're thinking of moving forward for the on-site system action plan. The first phase would be an assessment phase, just to get an idea of all the systems that are out there on all the parcels. We would find out the type, the age, the parcel size, the site conditions for each parcel, and so we'll have all the information we need to make further determinations. We would specifically indicate which parcels are in the priority areas and which are not, so people would have some certainty whether they're going to have more work to do. Also, early on, we'd secure funding. We know there's funding available for planning. This would be available in order to help the county to do the assessment with us. We know that's going to be a financial burden for the county with their low resources, but we think funding is available for them to do that. So, like I said, the objective is to determine the status of all the on-site systems in these priorities areas. We'll do that through researching county records, through surveys, through questionnaires, perhaps through inspections if necessary. And I think the key to this approach would be that we're going to be focusing on the failing and substandard systems. Existing systems that have been upgraded or in compliance with basin plan policies or have been upgraded in accordance with county policy will have no further actions to do during the assessment period. So once we have a firm handle on all the systems out there and what systems are existing, we'll move to a planning phase. We'll identify those areas with a dot on a map or a pin and identify those areas that are failing or those systems that are failing and substandard and target areas where there are a large number or large percentage of failing or substandard systems. and we'll develop a plan for those substandard systems or failing systems. Some will may be able to upgrade individually. They might have the site conditions that will allow them to upgrade in accordance with county policy, their repair policy, or their rehabilitation policy. Others might need more creative means to comply. We might have group systems, cluster systems that could handle more than one residence at a time. There may be options for some small communities to connect to existing sanitary sewer systems. And that's the second phase, the planning phase. And before we move to the implementation phase, we want to make sure that we'll have funding available that is available to public, available to private entities to upgrade when they need to. So as part of the implementation phase, we'll establish a reasonable time schedule for individuals to comply. So I would point out that this is a preliminary staff proposal. It's the details we anticipate will be worked out with the local agencies. And we're anticipating working out these details, obviously in cooperation with both Sonoma and Mendocino County local agencies. It's our intent to pursue a memorandum of understanding with both these agencies to detail the approach for dealing with existing new and replacement on-site systems, as well as dealing with those other source categories that the county has been identified as a responsible party, like homelessness encampments and recreational water users. Also, we see some work ahead still in establishing the role for the Citizens Advisory Group. We still need to figure out when they should enter in and start participating and in what manner. And probably most importantly, we want to make sure that we can secure funding early on for those phases of our approach. We've already talked to Department of Financial Assistance, the State Board. They've assured us that funding is available. We've talked about our approach to them, and they're very motivated to provide funding for this sort of activity. So that's very good news. And we're very happy to hear it. So what's following? We continue to prepare our responses to public comments. When those are done, we'll prepare a revised draft staff report and basin plan amendment. When that is done, we will initiate a second public comment period, another 45 days for people to comment on the revisions that we've made to the TMDL. We'll try to limit it to that. That 45-day comment period is done and we have some time to respond to those comments, we'll bring the TMDL action plan back to the regional board for consideration of adoption. And at this point, we're thinking summer of 2016 is probably the best shot of this, that this would happen. So a couple of final thoughts. We wanted to assure the board emphatically that we're committed to completing this TMDL in a reasonable time. The impairment is real, and we know we have work to do. At the same time, we want to be responsive to the public and stakeholder concerns and be inclusive of public input. So we recognize there's still a lot of hard work to do, but we believe the revised draft TMDL will be improved from the current version and will result in a more reasonable, fair, and ultimately more effective TMDL. So finally, from those of us who've been working on this TM, we wanted to personally thank Board Member Massey for his support over the years, over the many years now, on this TMDL effort. You've helped us stay focused on the objective, which is to improve the quality of water in the Russian River. And I'd personally like to thank you for being there for all the times I've been for the board with various items, and your support and seeing a friendly face looking at me is always helpful. So cheers to you. Thank you. And the final slide is for people who wish to contribute and participate more in this TM deal. We recommend seriously that you sign up for our listserv, so you'll get email notifications when there's a new notice on our website. That's the best way to keep apprised of what's going on. Also, if you would like to call us, you can certainly do that by calling me or Alita Mangelsdorf, and we can set you up and answer any of your questions. So that concludes my presentation.
Any questions or comments of board members?
I have some, yes. Yeah. Thank you. So thank you, big thank you to members of the public who commented. I think as Charles mentioned, it seems to be making the draft TMDL better to have those comments. And thank you as well to Charles and staff for the work that you've done in laying out these revisions, because they certainly address many of the concerns that I had. There are a couple items that popped out to me. One is the identification of the priority areas. And Charles, I noticed that in this phased proposal, it has clearly identifying those areas as part of phase one. I wanted to clarify whether you envision that happening before or after adoption of the TMDL.
I think we hope to do that before.
Okay, I agree that that would be important to do that before. I think we heard that. Certainly, I attended the public meeting in Monterio. We heard that loud and clear. And then in many of the written comments from the public that I reviewed, and I certainly have concerns with adopting a TMDL that indicates priority areas that aren't clear to the people who may be impacted by that. So that's one that I encourage that approach.
Can I add one thing to the response? So that will certainly be our goal, is to add as much specificity as we can to who's in and who's out of the priority areas. With that said, it's one of the elements of coordination with the counties, because it's the counties that have the parcel data. And so I just want to caveat that it's going to be, we'll do our best to be as specific as possible, and it is our goal to have that be completed at the time that the TMDL comes before you for adoption. But since we aren't in possession of all the data, there's some limitations that we have as a regional board to being able to deliver on that. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do that, but I just wanted to provide that, kind of manage the expectation.
Thank you for that. And then the second item was the establishment of a citizens advisory group. And this is more of a comment than a question. And that's just that I think that's really important. I think it should have a central and integral role in implementation of the TMDL and not be carried out in a way that could be construed as an afterthought or a footnote or anything of that nature. I know that it didn't appear to me in my review of the draft TMDL that there was a central role for that. And so I would hope that the next draft that we see will have that citizens advisory group really clearly enumerated as an important part of TMDL implementation.
I agree. We think that's very important too.
Thank you.
Can I tack on to Ms. Minton's request and understanding that it is absolutely essential that we have the citizens advisory. But I don't think it's one, because I think it is probably several, because there are different areas of the river. So Fitch Mountain is a long ways in many respects from Monterio. They have the same common problems, but I think there's a Fitch Mountain Citizens Advisory Committee, Monterio, and I would argue that there are two or three others going from Monterio up the river, that those would be more than one.
Right, I agree. I think we could probably use some input from the public on the best way to gather information about parcels, because that's always a very tricky thing to do. People are very private, and they don't like to give up private information. And I think a citizens advisory group will allow us to be able to bridge that reluctance. And also, I think a citizens advisory group or groups are going to be necessary once we identify areas that are going to need maybe a more coordinated effort for upgrading. And so we'll definitely want to get buy-in from that group of people on what the upgrade would be. So at that point, I think a smaller citizens advisory group is going to be very necessary.
I just want to say getting what the upgrade will be is critically important, because you want to have a vision of where you want to go in a TMDL. I mean, it's an allocation load, and obviously the status quo is important, but you also want to go where you want to go. And it's our one chance at funding in basically the last 20 years, and so we've got to make it count. I had one other comment. I just think Mr. Massey's been a standout as a board member, but I want to say his efforts are beyond compare on trying to get the Russian River TMDL, not only in years, and we're talking decades of trying to make this happen, and he poured his heart and soul in it, and it was a very strong response to the community. We wanted to listen to your comments that we didn't bring it to a vote while he's on the board, but I hope everyone knows this plan is quite a bit the spirit of Bill Massey, and not to degrade staff, because you've done a great job, but he's just been an outstanding leader. I want to personally thank you.
Mr. Chair. I want to also thank you, Bill. You've been tremendous on this. The one thing I think you've really provided is perspective and time, right? That, Charles, you showed the outreach that happened in 2015. But, you know, this has been a problem that's been around for decades. And this is a land use problem in the lower river system especially, because we would never have this today. We would never have the density and size of parcel lots with septic tanks in the river system as it is today. And we're trying to deal with a built environment. One acknowledgement that I think is important for us to make as an agency is I think this is going to take a long time. I think it's going to intentionally go slow. So the assessment phase, you didn't give timeline to assessment, Charles. I don't expect that you could. Assessment to me means a lot of things as far as just trying to find out what's out here and the process of discovery of finding what's here. I think having information from which we can rely upon and make good decisions is super important. I think it's going to take a long time, and I think it's going to hit some real hard spots. And I think we're going to have to go down this road together. I do think that it's important, and I'm very glad that you've actually taken the pause here to take another round of public comment, another look at the approach, a look at how implementation is possibly going to look at down the road. But implementation is intentionally, as I see it, at the end of the three-phase process, right? There's a good bit of discovery here, and trying to assess what is the problem and what are the applicable solutions. Funding is super important. I totally agree. And I think that as we go forward, I think everybody has a common interest in doing what's right by the river as far as water quality, attaining water quality goals here, and having a river system that stays clean, that meets all the intended and beneficial uses here. A couple questions, Charles, that I didn't hear you address, and I just want some specifics here. There was some in the public comments that I read, or the comments, not just the public, because you graded those out by agency, stakeholder parties, and basically public. There's a background bacterial assessment here that is to set a reference watershed, because the part of this is that bacteria is a natural condition. And to set natural condition here, can you just, my understanding is there's going to be a process to find a watershed here to set as somewhat of a reference. And I just want to state that. I believe that's the case. The other part of it, the State Water Board is setting a water quality standard for bacteria, and that is supposed to happen, I believe, within the next calendar year. So, and I think those are both important steps, because that sets some of the regulatory benchmarks that that are going to then be used here as time goes forward. A question to you, Charles. You mentioned DFA funding. It sounds like you're having discussions now with the Department of Financial Assistance at the State Water Board. I think that's great. Is that intended to be individualized? Is that if I have a system out on my parcel somewhere out in the hinterlands, is that me as an individual going and finding funding? Or how do you envision, you put any thought into that?
Yeah, these funds have to be gotten by a public agency. But there are some mechanisms to funnel that down to individuals, as I understand.
And the one, when I attended the workshop here a month or so ago, there was at least some individuals that were looking at maybe forming a localized group. Is that allowed here? Do you envision that could be allowed? Say like a community said, look, we'll be our own entity here. We have, or we could set structure, whether you have to do that under LAFCO or not, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that, but I think they would have to be a qualifying public agency. So I think just maybe a group of people probably wouldn't qualify.
Okay. I do support going through this process and to take, and as you lay out here, that there's a process to go forward from here. This is going to come back, I expect, and I would expect it to come back, as you say, in the summer for adoption, and we go forward from there. As with my two colleagues, I do support a citizen advisory committee. We've talked about that before, and I think to have then a process, that process of discovery, that process of funding, and looking at options and solutions here, and then outcomes and implementation, I think is important to be inclusive. I think we're on the right track. I look forward to this going forward and to have it come back and see what we get.
If I could make one comment on your comment about natural background, we are going to be doing some investigations to discover what natural background is, but we don't anticipate that once we find that information that it will change any of the implementation actions in the TMDL, because we're trying to address all the sources of bacteria regardless of what the final number is going to be.
Well, I'd agree with that, right, that the implementation as it's written now, the framework that's in the draft document right now is not just about on-site septic systems. This includes dairies, homeless camps, urban runoff, POTWs, a lot of things. There's many, many sources to bacteria out here, including background. And background, of course, is quantified in the load calculation here. Hi, Alita.
Good afternoon. I'm Alita Mangelsdorf, also a member of your staff. I just wanted to address the question of standards and including this reference background study. So our existing bacteria objective in the basin plan includes one part that relates to the protection of natural background, another part that relates to the protection of recreational use. This TMDL that we've had out for public review addresses a standard related to recreational use, and so we've trimmed off the piece related to natural background while we go forward with a reference stream study to determine natural background conditions. At that point, I think Charles's point is good, that a TMDL based on recreational objectives and all the implementation measures meant to achieve that are likely to be adequate to meet natural background as well. That's something that we can look at in the future. But this particular TMDL is designed specifically to address recreation.
And thank you for that. And then also there is a basin plan amendment here, a prohibition actually, that's included in this, correct? That we retain, that I assume it's retained in this, that it's a prohibition against discharge of basically human waste.
That's correct. That's in the draft document. That's
yeah.
And I just want to say, I think in the next 10 years, we will get a cost-effective way through technology where we will be able to pretty quickly determine the source of the bacteria. And the systems are there. They're too costly now because they're just starting. But I believe the price will go down on testing, and then that will help inform the process as we go along.
I agree.
Well, thank you for that. I look forward to the comments. I assume we have speaker cards coming and to what people have to say.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
First, this may be my last opportunity to thank a myriad of people in this institution, from board members to those who help with administration to the staff itself. It has been an absolute wonderful experience. And as I have said many times, I have come from the citizenry. I will return to the citizenry. I'm not going away. Okay. I've got about 40 years in this. I want to see it done. I was a bit disappointed that I would not get to vote on this TMDL. As a couple people have pointed out, I've spent a fair amount of my time working on it. However, I would much prefer to see a good TMDL that is a planning document that will take many years to implement rather than a fast TMDL. So while I won't get to vote on it, I know, and many, many people know, I have spent a great amount of time, and I am very, very, very thankful for the privilege of working on it when I was just a citizen, to being able to work on it here, and I will continue to work on it. I think the one thing that has been apparent here is that it's not going to change. The science doesn't change. It is what we do with it. I'm pretty sure, as Mr. Corbett said, in 10 years, the monitoring process, the sampling process, will be cheaper. We can only hope that solutions are cheaper, but it will take time. For those who are afraid that it is the end of the earth because they're going to come sample my septic tank, no. For those of you that have been with this soap opera now for some 10 years, we started in this room in January of 2007. We've only got 8 years in, so we got at least a millennium left to go. But the point is that it has taken a long time to go through the process, and it's a very public process, and I would encourage you to stay in it. It has taken a long time to get to just this point to adopt a TMDL. To implement the TMDL will probably take longer. But the joy for me is not that we made it across the finish line, but that we got to participate in the process of improving the world that we live in and our kids and our grandkids and people that I will never, ever know will have a better river because of the efforts that we made. And so I thank you for participating in this process. Thank you.
All right, I believe we'll take the speaker cards. Ken Sun, followed by Rich Homer, followed by Preston Schmidt.
I'm Ken Sun from Jenner. I certainly applaud the efforts of your board to improve the Russian River. My family has been recreating on it since the 1950s, and I welcomed the opportunity to improve my septic system on my house, which is right on the river in Jenner, by installing an aerobic permitted system. I'm a member of the, I guess, the bureaucracy in the files of the local PRMD. By inspecting my system and reporting on it twice a year. I would also encourage some regulation along the lines of when a house changes hands, that the new owner and the realtors explain what a septic system is to the new buyer. I see so many houses being purchased, and they don't understand anything about a septic system, and they do the very least to it to even improve it. I think that's a big flaw in the local county program. I think going forward that there should be some stipulation in the law that says when properties change hands, systems are inspected by an inspector and a document is created that you have on file so you understand and add to your record keeping as to what systems we have. And if there's problems with it, the burden should be on the seller to improve that system rather than passing on a leaky tank or a redwood box, because we still have lots of those in homes that are leaking into our river. I certainly welcome regulation. I like the comment by that long-haired guy from Humboldt County saying that in a civilization we face the burden of regulation, but, you know, we're not living out in the middle of nowhere. We're all crushed together with more and more people around us. We need to be regulated. We need to encourage our neighbors to improve their systems. So I'm living in the middle of civilization, and I want to improve the civilization. I want to improve the river. And thanks for, you know, going through this long process, and I'm sure you're going to be facing lots of, you know, criticism by people that don't want to be regulated.
Thank you.
Hi, Rich Holmer. I'm a resident of Villa Grande down the Lower River. I was surprised to hear Bill's leaving. You've been a great board member. You were a face at every meeting. So thank you for all your time. I also wanted to thank the board members for putting off the decision on the public hearing today, because this issue needs clearly a lot of work on the OWTS side of it. I think staff was very responsive in listening to the comments put forward, and what has been proposed here is a very reasonable approach. I've been involved in a couple different groups for many, many years on trying to deal with some of the on-site wastewater issues in Lower River, particularly around Monterio. And there's been a proposed sewer system that fell apart. There was a group that put together a suggestion for decentralized systems to serve the area, but that largely fell apart on the issue of both governance and funds. And governance is really an issue for us. I think your willingness to work with the county is really important. The county shows some interest right now in getting something moving forward, but I think they need assistance from the board staff to do that. And I think the citizens in the area are probably some of the most concerned about the quality of the Russian River. You know, we're the ones that live there and recreate and drink from it. And there is a willingness and to deal with the issues and do the needed upgrades, but the upgrades need to be targeted specifically onto the individual parcels as to what they need, because some people have very adequate septic systems out there. Others have horrible septic systems. So the ability and the willingness of staff to focus in on the substandard systems that need upgrades, I think, is real important. So I appreciate your willingness to spend some time on this and have an adequate TMDL. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, hey, Rich. I wanted to comment. You've been somebody that's come to some of our meetings. I know that I read your letter specifically. I thought your letter was fairly representative of a lot of things here. Yeah. I appreciate your comments today. My request to you as, by the way, I love Villa Grande. I think that's just the coolest place to drive down that road. But as it goes, you know, I would request that you stay engaged. We need you. This process needs you, needs your knowledge base and your it seems to me that, you know, you've heard the board up here talk about the Citizen Advisory Committee, and I think that is at least part of the interchange of exchange and of ideas and process here. And I think that I nominate you.
I accept.
Thanks, Rich. I really appreciate
it. Been involved in it for 40 years. Might as well stay involved.
Might as well. We'll be there with
a newbie.
Thank you.
Preston Smith, followed by Dave Henderson, followed by Jim Christian.
Both Preston and Jim Christian had to leave.
Okay, I'm going to put them off to the side. I'll call them one more time. And so it would then be, I believe, Dave Henderson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this hearing. It's a wonderful opportunity. I've been involved for a while now, and I appreciate the efforts. Excuse me, Dave Henderson. I'm a resident of Fitch Mountain, president of the Fitch Mountain Association, and a member of the OWTS residents of the Russian River. And our subtitle here is a committee representing the legacy non-sewer-served riverfront communities on the Lower Russian River. So I just wanted to make two points today. One is that we did, of course, submit a comment, which was in the packet, dated October the 7th. And on page 1 and 2, we did have a heading on scientific findings, point number 1, which encompassed sections A through F, and then a second page, and we summarized, and we summarized it this way. Summarizing number 1 and 2, the case is not made that the pathogen levels are such as to require stricter OWTS performance criteria and costs than the AB885 measures. The TMDL fails to substantiate that the OWTS performance being demanded in high priority areas will remediate contamination in the Russian River to be compliant with the EPA pathogen criteria and REC 1 uses. And I know that the report doesn't share this, but as a representative, that is, our organization represents 6 communities, and we devoted some time to these conclusions, and I would personally appreciate it if staff could directly address our issues at some future time. There's clearly stated in the letter, perhaps they are mistaken, but we would like perhaps a detailed discussion of them in whatever format the board and the staff would prefer. Thank you. That's my first point. My second point is, of course, Fitch Mountain area has been designated a high priority area. And I personally, and many of us, cannot still understand the criteria that are used in the report, which I've read and studied, to designate some high priority areas. In particular, I cannot understand the designation of Fitch Mountain. So we would appreciate meeting with the staff at some time, and perhaps the other high priority areas, to look at the specific criteria that designate an area as a high priority, how they do that, which are used, and how they will pertain to a narrow or wider geographical area. What is Fitch Mountain? We do not know. There are some 300 properties probably on the west side of the river, possibly another 200 on the east side of the river. There are only a couple sampling areas, an unnamed stream, Camprose Beach, and down from us, of course, Veterans Memorial Beach. And we would like to go through that process of how that indicates us as a high priority area. We're very, in a sense, disturbed by that and perplexed. So I look for perhaps an early series of meetings with staff, and I think that would be helpful to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Phil Gross, Regina Costa, and Bart Diemer.
Good afternoon. I'm Phil Gross from Hacienda. I wanted to echo what others have said. I want to thank the board and thank the staff for the work that you've done here. Certainly the residents of Hacienda support your efforts to keep the river, to get the river cleaner than it is. I know that this is not the first effort at cleaning up the river, because I can recall what it was like when I was a kid, and it's a lot better now than it was then. So there's been continuing work that we all appreciate, and we'd like to see the work continue. Very pleased with the response that Hacienda has had to this proposal, because our little town had at least a dozen of those letters that were in the packet, and we're very happy that that our neighbors are as engaged as they are. I'm also pleased that others have been looking into the scientific aspects of the plan, so I don't have to do that. As an old English major, I think that it's wise for me to stay out of that particular thicket. But there's a couple of comments I would like to make. One is that some of the concern previously was that this seemed to be this process seemed to be rushed, and I appreciated Board Member Noren's comments about let's get this right, let's not, and Board Member Massey's comments about let's get it right, let's not put an artificial time limit on it. By the time that we survey the parcels, ID the funding, go through the planning phase, find a reference watershed, work out the details with local agencies, form the various citizens advisory groups, formally respond to the comments that have already been made, prepare a new draft staff report, and initiate another 45 days comment period, I don't think it's realistic to think this is going to happen by next summer. And I would like to encourage the staff and the board to be as patient as you gentlemen have suggested we should be. Two other comments. There's been talk about community solutions, and I mentioned this in my letter of comments to the board, but they seem to be, at least in some aspects, backwards to my way of thinking. Once we identify all the properties that need to have more elaborate systems, maybe there's the possibility to have group concentration, group treatment, whatever you want to call it on that. That makes a lot of sense. But as I understand it, the measurements that have been done in the river could come from a lot of different sources in the river, upstream from a community. And in Hacienda, and I think in a lot of the other communities up and down the river that are built in narrow canyons, like Summerlin Park and Rionito, the drainage into the river comes mostly, if not entirely, down one watershed. And I would think that it would make sense to measure what's coming out of that watershed, not just what's in the river that might be coming down or might be the product of canoers and kayakers and other transient sources. If we could get a measurement at Hobson Creek and Hacienda, that should inform just how elaborate our remediation efforts upstream from that measurement point need to be. So that's one comment. And then the other one was I have not been able to wade through all 119 pages of the county's comments, but in glancing at it, one number popped off the page at me. And that was the possibility that this could cost $250 million. That's terrifying. So, good luck. Keep at it. Okay. We'll be with you.
Do you have a $500 million to spare, by the way?
Good afternoon. My name is Regina Costa. I live in Hacienda, and I am a member of the Hacienda Improvement Association, and we're one of the groups that's also in the OWTS Residents of the Russian River, and we did submit comments. And first of all, I'd like to thank the staff and the board for taking to heart the thoughtful comments that came in, not only from our association, but from others and from the county. That's very heartening from my perspective, as someone who definitely needs an upgrade at some point and has a $20,000 estimate. The fact that the comments were very thoughtful, they were well-reasoned, and you paid attention means a great deal. And going slow and getting it right is always better than going fast and getting it wrong, because the ultimate goal for everyone is to clean up the river and to have a solution that works. Second point is that I think the citizen advisory committees or citizen advisory boards are crucial, because we appreciate the revised approach that staff has laid out, but it's still a sketch. And it will be really important for members of the public who are engaged in these things, and we have people who are scientists, who are civil engineers, who are very knowledgeable, or septic engineers also, very knowledgeable about these issues. If they can be involved at the front end of the process rather than the back end of the process, it will help everyone develop a plan that will really and truly work. For example, there are people who have to upgrade their septics now. What they were afraid of was, I spend $30,000 and then all of a sudden something gets done and I have just literally flushed $30,000 and I'm still not compliant, or things of this nature. So I think what staff presented today goes a ways toward alleviating that. And just the final thing, the point from the gentleman from Villa Grande was well taken. We want to make sure that the science is right, that if the goal is to address a problem, then the problem is really addressed. And if it isn't X septic system from up the creek, but it really is recreational users or it's a homeless encampment, that ought to be identified. We recognize that it'll be 10 years before you can do it with the snap of a finger, but putting the onus on something that isn't causing the problem doesn't help the river. So anyway, just want to say thank you for taking the concerns to heart, and thanks to the staff, and hopefully this process pans out the way we're all thinking. Thank you.
Bart Diemer, then Brenda Edelman, and then Nanda Homer.
Thank you. I'm Bart Diemer. I'm a resident in Northwood and also a member of the OWTS committee. Like the others, I'd like to thank very heartily the staff for their courage in stepping back and taking another run at a very, very difficult issue. And I think the thoughts that have been expressed today by the staff and by board members about doing it right, getting the data in place before imposing burdensome requirements on anybody, and particularly, as you know, on OWTS owners, is very laudable, and I want to express my thanks. I don't know if Sonoma County is here today, but if they were, I would express my thanks to them, too, for their role in helping taking a new approach. I want to add a footnote, which is really part of the background on taking a science-based, factual-based, risk-benefit-based approach, which is the condition of the main stem of the Russian River. And I swim in the main stem. Tens of thousands of people swim in the main stem every summer. And so I and they might be curious to hear that the main stem is unsafe for swimming. And this TMDL, as we know, is aimed at Rec 1 quality. An initial question is, why is it on the 303D impairment list in the first place? And as we all know, the answer is that it's there solely because of exceedances of fecal coliform. That's kind of an embarrassing basis, because fecal coliform were proven back in 83 to have no relationship with swimmer health. And in 86, the EPA strongly recommended against its use. But there, I think, was a good reason why it was the sole basis for the 303D. The other bases weren't there to support it. E. coli was satisfied based on the sampling done by the board. And Enterococcus was deprecated by the staff as being unreliable as a Rec 1 measure. And on that basis, the 303D was based solely on fecal coliform. Since then, the impairment, so-called, of the main stem has been justified primarily based on Enterococcus. This is a change of position from the staff's earlier view that Enterococcus was in fact unreliable. That earlier judgment has been confirmed by a study co-authored by Professor Ashbolt, who was the peer reviewer of the first draft of the TMDL. And even if the staff's own data is reviewed, even if it were considered a reliable indicator, the normal criteria for impairment based on 30-day samples in which there's a minimum of 5 samples within a 30-day period, and based on the listing criteria of this board, not a single one of the sampling locations in the staff's own data meets that criteria of impairment. Now, there are grab samples at many of these locations, individual days or individual samples, and I think that must be what people refer to as impairment. But that's a very different use of the term. So far as I know, the use of Enterococcus in the lower Russian River, which is a new element in the TMDL, has not and is never going to be subjected to peer scientific review. Now, all of this is background. I mention all of this because I think it, I hope, it will inform the board's approach in the planning period that we heard about, which I was very glad to hear about, and also in the implementation period. when we speak of impairment in the river, I think we should look at individualized, specified dangers to swimmers. They may be there. I humbly don't believe they've been established yet, but we should look for them, and I would be, as a person who swims at the river, I would be the first to want to know about them. But let's go at it carefully and proceed on a fact-based and scientific-based approach. Thank you very much.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I want to apologize for not thanking Bill Massey for his use of his years of service this morning, and maybe now is an even more appropriate time to thank you for everything you've done over the years. And anyway, I support most of the comments that have been made by everybody, and I want to call attention to the fact the level of intelligence and care and respect for your board from the people making these comments. I think it's very, very, I think this process has been really, I really appreciate the board's response and the staff's response to the community, and that doesn't happen a lot these days. So it's really special that you're doing this, and I really appreciate it. Our group is basically, we have about 450 names on our mailing list. Many of the people own summer homes in the river area. We don't necessarily, many of the people have septic, so even though I personally live in a sewered area, we would have good reason to want to be involved in the Citizens Advisory Committee. Also, one of the things that jumped out at me in the staff report was the fact that in some cases the central sewer will be used as a remedy for failing septics, but it's also seen as part of the problem, and it's seen as a contributor to bacteria. And in fact, the sewered areas were listed in the report on the same level as the septic systems, which really isn't fair given we have some of the highest rates in the county that we've been paying on for a very long time. And I can only guess, but this was not spelled out, that there may be some failing laterals, private laterals. And if this is really an issue, and the other part of it is that in the listing, the listing's based on an area that's mostly a sewered area. So this is really strange. It just covers the area between Guerneville and Monterio, and about half of that area is sewered. So in any case, I just wanted to mention that there needs to be more clarity. I had an idea, maybe totally off the wall and unreasonable, but no one's mentioned it, and I thought, well, I'll be the one to bring it up. I'm wondering if in some instances there could be a limited buyout program for those properties where the people just are unable to deal with the major repairs and would be open to considering some kind of buyout. And then in turn, it might be feasible to use the properties that are bought out in some cases as locations for community septics. Because that was a kind of a difficult issue in Monterio. I attended most of the meetings there. And finding appropriate parcels that could serve as a community septic was difficult. So I just want to throw that into the mix. In any case, I look forward to working with staff on this. And there were a bunch of issues in my comments I won't bother with now. And I think that the way it was laid out in Charles's presentation really hits all the highlights. And, of course, the devil will be in the details.
And you'll need to finish up.
You didn't say that to anyone else, Mr. Corbett.
Well, but you've been on red light for...
Okay, I'm really done. Thank you very much for listening. Bye now.
And then we have Leo Tor the fourth and Dan Fine.
Hi, I'm Wanda Holmer, and I'm from, it's Wanda, not Nanda. I see my W looks like an N.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you for.
I'm a former CAC member of the Monterio wastewater and septic system that we tried to pull off when Mike Riley was in office. And Mr. Massey, I know you know all about that. But I do want to point a few things out, because to me, in some ways, this reminds me a bit of a snipe hunt, and we're trying to identify everything. Well, on someone's shelf at PRMD, there is the EIR that we did at the end of the 90s, and we actually did quite a bit of really good science research. So we talked about collectors, collector systems, and things like that, and that would maybe help Hacienda and Villa Grande, things like that. We were very close to having some funding, and then it went away. In 07 through 09, we had no money. We started all this over again. Everyone is all new. And I don't know if the thread of what we've done has ever even been considered or looked at. So I think that as board people, you should look at that couple hundred thousand, maybe $1 million deal that we've already researched. Because, Mr. Massey, you did say a while ago, the science does not change. All we've done now in the past 10, 15 years is get more crowded. Everybody lives out there much more year-round. So there's a huge problem out there, and we tried to address it a while back. Now, I do not want us to have to keep reinventing the wheel. There's something that happened during the time that we as CAC people, we had different opportunities or different projects, different types of things. No project, hooking up to Guerneville, doing our own sewer system out there, and I can't remember, and fixing up everyone's individually. To fix up everybody's individual lot is prohibitively expensive. It's outrageous. We need funding. We have a state now that has lots of money. We've got a governor sitting on a lot of stuff. I think that we were promised after the Eel River was put together that we, Lower River, would be next. Then everything got forgotten and all new staff and all this stuff. So instead of redoing the science, check out what you've already got and go from there. There's a lot of new science. I mean, they never even said fecal E. coli or anything like that. When we were there, they wouldn't even mention that. It's horrific. It's very, very, very sad in a way to see this past summer with the algae where our dogs couldn't swim, and we as people and children shouldn't have swam. The river is black now instead of green. And the algae dies off, the river's black. I don't know how we're going to ever have another fish in there, let alone anything else. Now, we all are responsible human beings, and we all want this beautiful river of ours, which is the number one tourist attraction here. Sorry about the wineries, but most people love to go out and see the river, too, in the Redwoods. So I've been here for 35 years. I've spent a lot of time married to Rich Holmer. I was very involved personally and then also from just who Rich is. So I think that we need to have all of you people think in terms of helping the Lower River as the biggest tourist plus you can do. Don't build another winery. Oh, go ahead, do wineries. But don't forget us. We were promised.
And you're now on red light.
I understand.
So, okay.
I will finish up because I want to say, Mr. Massey, thank you for all your help. I do remember you saying to us, once the Eel was fixed, we would be next. Now, let's find the funds and get the Lower River fixed up. Oh, here's the other thing
that
happened. Two things. We have now the geysers. Santa Rosa goes to the geysers. We have hookups in the river at Roller Bridge and in Monterio past around Northwood. There's a real simple solution to get some of this stuff up and out and make our electricity happen. So thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chairman Corbett, Lee Tor IV here, members of the board. I too was would like to thank your board member Massey for all his efforts over the years. Along with Wanda Homer, I too was on the Citizen Advisory Committee of the Monterio Committee for the county, and worked on that project for over 10 years. And I fully endorse everything that Wanda mentioned to you here, with a little extrapolation on some of her thoughts. You know, in Monterio, we did spend $1,050,000 on environmental impact report and counting. And there's other funds that the county sort of paid for beyond that. I don't know what that final number was, but it was substantial. And short shrift has been given to that report. The fact that we got $12 million in grants, we passed two bond parcel taxes, which was additional $6 million, for a total of $18 million. And when one key player in the county government left, the entire project fell apart. It's my contention the county basically didn't want to do the project because they didn't have the talent. And they didn't want to spend, so they, I don't want to say too pejoratively, but they cooked the books for another $3 million, pumped up the project to a $21 million project, and said they couldn't do it. So that's a little bit of history from my perspective. I may be subject to a little error there, but I don't. It's not too far off the mark. With that said, I think it's important that for the lay of the land, need to know Monterio, what we found out from the county, there was only two parcels in the entire Monterio area that qualified to be considered a Class 1 system at the time. Now, I know there's been some revisions after it. One was the Monterio School, which purchased a property of 25 acres up the hill in order to build that school and complete in 1992, and one other was a single-family home along Moscow Road. The rest of it is subject to, the area of Monterio that we were doing the project in wasn't all of Monterio either. It was like 400 parcels, 600 equivalent single-family dwellings, numbers in that range, maybe a third of Monterio. Not including Villa Grande either. So those are some of the limitations we were dealing with. And mainly the limitation was it took in, that primary project took areas in that were all flood prone by and large. And I put forth a letter for your response of some 43 questions. One of them had to do with a 10-year floodplain.
And then you're now in red light.
Okay, too. And the hyphoric zone. I would just encourage mapping be done so we know where this hyphoric zone is, where the priority areas are. And that's not defined as far as I could read. And I think that's all important because we cannot meet those requirements. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Is Dan Fine here? Yeah, step up. And then I'm going to call, even though I've called before, they weren't here, Preston Schmidt and Jim Christian. If you're here, please be ready to speak, or we're going to move on.
All right, well, thank you very much. I'm Dan Fine. I'm a citizen of Monterio. I've also been involved in several of the wastewater efforts in the past several years, and including in that Oats Committee that sent a letter to you. And also I want to thank Bill Massey. You've been a great help to us all along, and personally, I think you and I have had a lot of conversations, and I really appreciate the insight you've provided. In our area, we are all reliant on 19th century technology. The septic tank and leach field has been around since 1860, and relying on leach fields, there are two kinds of leach fields. There are those that have failed and those that are going to. A leach field has an estimated life of 30 to 50 years, so anybody who's been built before 19 80 is basically approaching the end of life on their leach field. In the 20th century, the answer was centralized sewer systems, the big industrial approach with economies of scale. But we found out in our area with the Monterio sewer effort that Lee just mentioned is that at our scale, there are no economies of scale. In fact, if you do the math on the numbers that Lee just gave you, $18 million for 600 parcels, that's $30,000 a parcel for the sewer project. Other solutions that have been available, people who've had failures have had to put up to $50,000. That seems to be the average these days, $50,000. I can tell you as a member of the board of the fire district, we just connected to the Creekside wastewater system that was approved. That system is 10 ESDs and cost $400,000 by the time we got through connecting with it. So again, $40,000 per ESD. So those are the kinds of numbers that we're talking about. On the other hand, we have to look at the impact of no solution. The economic impact in Monterio has been substantial, which was that it was once the crossroads of two railroads. We were kind of the center of the river. And because there's no possibility of building downtown without a wastewater solution, downtown Monterio is basically moribund. The properties are deteriorating, and there's no even ability by willing builders to solve it. So it's really on us. And what, regardless of what the science is and what your TMDL study says, at the end, I know you're not going to say that the status quo is okay, and that what we're really looking at is a massive overhaul. And, you know, how are we going to do that, and how are we going to transition ourselves, and how are we going to phase that and decide which are the priority areas and which are the individual systems that need to be fixed? And basically, how do you solve the problem on an individual lot, you know, that is undersized and is crowded? So these are the kinds of things that we need to do. We need to be able to take advantage of current technologies. We need to be able to take advantage of technologies that are not there yet. I know that the Gates Foundation is working on a future toilet for third world countries.
And then you just hit red light. So
I do. Okay. So what I want to go away with is that, A, we need to transition rationally over a long period of time. B, we need to take advantage of the best technologies available now and in the future. We have to focus on taking the waste out of wastewater, and therefore by using less and incent on lower usage, and also to be aware of the impacts on growth in the area. Once you solve the problem, then the artificial limitation of no wastewater goes away. So we really have to look at it through land use policies and actual deliberate policies as opposed to default. So I thank you very much.
One last call for Jim Christian or Preston Smith. Okay, I've called their names three times, so we're moving on. And I believe that concludes the public portion of the testimony. And so I will bring it, we'll close this hearing, or we'll close the public portion of it. I want to call on staff whether they have any comments and then bring it back to the board.
I would just say that really do appreciate everybody taking your time out this afternoon some of you are here this morning for taking most of the day for this item. We've gotten great comments. We're demonstrating that we have heard you. We're taking the time to make important revisions, and we'll look forward to continuing involvement as we move forward.
I'll now bring it to the board for comments, if any.
Mr. Charles, have anything to say? No comments.
I thought you'd waved off.
I've waved them off.
Yeah.
I just have a comment, yeah. Chairman Corbett. I guess, you know, a message to staff. It's extraordinary, the tone of what was just shared with us and the willingness and the recognition of how things are moving forward. And these kind of moments don't happen all that often when we're talking about, you know, intense potential conflicts and disagreements. So as we move forward here, you know, we can't afford to lose the openness of the discussion we just heard, the willingness of everyone to work together collaboratively in a transparent fashion. So I think you made the right call, Charles, in slowing it down and revisiting it. But, you know, this is a in terms of government moving forward, this is a special moment we just heard. And so let's just work hard to keep that communication and tone of collaboration moving forward. So I that's all. You know, I haven't been involved in the Russian River coming farther from the north. I wish that some of the other water bodies we were working in had this kind of collaborative tone. So it was it's a positive moment and one not to be taken lightly.
Any other board members?
Mr. Chair, I just look forward. I also thank people for their comments, their written comments, their testimony today. Charles, I'm sure you got lots of notes. You got a lot of comments to respond to, and I expect that'll happen. Maybe in the near future we could see an update about where we're going to go with this and what timelines we lay out on in a little bit more certain fashion. And I think I agree with Board Member Giusti, and I think that, you know, I think there's many elements in play here that are going to become the journey of the Russian River system. And so with that, I think we start.
I just was struck by one thing, and then I'll call on Board Member Massey. On some of these areas, we need to get a plan on what direction we're going to go. I heard the testimony, someone doesn't want to invest in an upgrade and then have another solution on the table. So somehow getting that early in the process, because that would be very unfortunate, and it's going to cost a fair amount of money no matter what direction is selected, and we need to make sure it counts. I'll call him Board Member Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Giusti, for pointing out that this is, as a matter of fact, a community, and I consider the Russian River a community from Ukiah down. I think all of us have been to, I don't want to be, I saw a bumper sticker you'd like. It said, anything political is not correct. I don't want to run the risk of not being politically correct, but we have all, I think most of us, done inner tubes from Kaminsky Station on down. Many of us have fished the area between Healdsburg and Wooler. I think all of us have done canoes, or many of us in any event. And I think the thing that is absolutely marvelous today, as Mr. Giusti pointed out, is that the thing is a community. It is a whole community, and everybody is here and willing. For me, I will simply say that we have a community that is willing. We have a staff and a board that is willing, and I'm absolutely delighted that it is in wonderful hands of everyone in this room that it will get done. And for that, I am very, very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board member comments? Well, I think I'm going to take a 10-minute recess. This concludes the study session. And thanks, everyone, for your letters and comments. I think they really helped inform the board.